Violinist and composer Jenny Scheinman possesses a unique and rare ability to play virtually any style of music. Whether it's classical, folk, rock, or jazz, or singing any of the songs she's written, Jenny frequently collaborates with musicians such as Bill Frisell, Ani DiFranco, and Nels Klein. At this year's Big Ears Festival, she will present two performances, one with her band, Mischief and Mayhem, which combines modern classical and jazz with rock and roll. This fusion band performs on Friday from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Standard. Her second performance is of a film project that she worked on for many years, along with director Finn Taylor. Kannapolis, a Moving Portrait, takes an authentic look at the people who lived and worked in various milling towns in the Piedmont region of North Carolina during the late 30s and early 40s. Presented at the Bijou Theater on Saturday from 12:30 until 1:30 p.m., Jenny, along with several other string band musicians, will perform the folk-inspired music that she wrote for the film. Jenny Scheinman, it's a pleasure to talk to you today. Thanks so much for taking time to chat with me.
Likewise.
You are giving two performances at the Big Ears Festival, but I want to focus primarily on one in particular, Kannapolis, A Moving Portrait. This is actually a film for which you composed the music, and you, along with Robbie Fulks and Robbie Gerso, will perform it live as the film is shown. Let's first talk about the film, which is footage originally taken by North Carolina filmmaker H. Lee Waters.
Yeah, the project was commissioned by Duke University, and they have a very big archive of American footage and films. And H. Lee Waters was a filmmaker who was actually a portrait photographer who got into filmmaking in the latter part of the 30s. So from about 36 to 42, he traveled around the Carolinas and that sort of Piedmont region with a movie camera, and he took footage of people on the streets and in their shops and on playgrounds, basically public places. He was getting the look of the town and the look of the townspeople. And he'd advertise on the top of his car while he was doing this that he'd be returning in a couple weeks to show this footage to the residents of the town, which made everybody want to be in it because they wanted to see themselves on the screen. And he was fairly successful. Mm-hmm. And he made over 100 films like this. Some of them are, 20 minutes long. Some are close to 40 minutes long. And they were unedited, or they were in-camera edited, meaning he would just stop his shot, and go to the next one, and that's how the film would roll. And they include, thousands of faces from these towns, and are a very kind of rare group of films for that area because there was really no agenda other than sort of celebrating the people of the town and selling them the joy they would experience in seeing themselves, 40 feet high on a screen. Mm-hmm. But, it's not propaganda, it's not advertisement, there's nothing like that in it. So you just sort of see people at that time, and you see people at a time, unlike now, where they really had very little exposure to seeing themselves. Many of them had never seen a photograph of themselves, much less moving footage. So it's very candid and very innocent in a way, and very fresh, beautiful footage. There's a lot of it is black and white, but he actually graduated to a color camera near the end, and we got a lot of that, and that's spectacularly beautiful, big, beautiful faces on the screen. Because he was a portrait photographer, I think part of his genius is in the moving footage is getting these portraits of people. They're very short shots of people moving through a series of expressions, maybe from wariness or nervousness to a wide open grin or just subtly changing expression. Finn Taylor, who's a modern filmmaker, went through all this footage. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot of it with him. And we culled sort of not only our favorite shots, but shots in that covered various themes and put together an hour-length film, which I wrote music to. Mm-hmm. We did it in tandem. So I was writing the music while he was going through the footage, and we went back and forth a lot. It's a real collaborative piece.
So how much footage was there total?
Well, we didn't go through every single movie. I think Duke sent us 30 films, something like that. Mm-hmm. We don't use footage from every single one, but we watched that much. As I said, there's, I think, 118 films total.
Wow.
Each one has the name of the town that it was shot in. So uh-huh. one would be Lexington, one mm-hmm. would be Kannapolis, one would be, you know, all these various towns. And we mix them up. We go, say, from a shot of a playground in Lexington to a shot of a playground in Marlborough to a shot in a playground in Kannapolis. Mm-hmm. And we mix up the different parts of town as well. At that time, it was quite segregated. The towns were quite segregated. But H. Lee Waters went to the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
He was showing these to the whole town. And sometimes these movie theaters were segregated, you know, area for white patrons and area for black patrons, and he would include all of them in the footage. And so we sort of mix it up and end up making sort of a portrait of that time in that region, hopefully that time in America, and hopefully even more sort of Americans, a portrait of Americans at a certain moment. It's a fairly non-historically oriented, non-documentary, formal piece. It's very much an emotional, evocative, even sort of nostalgic piece
mm-hmm.
about our character as Americans.
Do you think H. Lee Waters' intent in making these films was to capture this raw, genuine footage of normal, everyday people, or was it... hey, I'm here to make some films and make a little bit of money kind of thing.
Well, I think it was a wonderful combination of the two. I mean, his portrait business was not doing well by 1935. Nobody wanted their portrait taken. People were poor, and he had to change it up to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
I also think he was a wonderfully social character, and this is according to his family. You know, he's the beloved uncle. He's the beloved dad. He was the grandfather who, even in his later years, would slide down the balcony from the second floor of his little house to the first floor. He was just totally charming and full of life. And I think he really enjoyed being with strangers, being with people. And you see in the footage that within seconds, he can really make his subjects feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you really kind of see his character in the way they respond to him on the screen. I don't think he necessarily thought of himself as an artist or as somebody that was making something that might be seen in 2018 or mm-hmm. would be lasting. I think he was making money and doing something that he really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have recognized early on how much people wanted to see themselves on the screen and how reassured and reinforced and powerful it was
mm-hmm.
to get that experience. You know, it's like seeing yourself as a movie star.
Yeah.
It's very
mm-hmm.
empowering yeah. to see yourself up there.
Yeah.
People were going through a really rough time, and to gather in a theater and see their community up on a big screen was
yeah.
really empowering and really filled them with hope.
So you narrowed the film footage down to about an hour, and I'm curious, how did you begin composing music to go along with the film?
I worked on this for many years before I got Finn involved, and I just had a folder of music that I thought might be related to the footage. I'd occasionally go to the footage and put it up on my computer screen and play along with it and take cues from that experience, you know, what clicked and what didn't click. Pretty early I realized that it was an opportunity to write a bunch of fiddle tunes, because
mm-hmm.
not only are there sort of fiddle bands in the footage, I actually put together my band according to a band that's filmed in one of the sequences, which
mm-hmm.
is a resonator guitar, which is played by Robbie Gerso in my show, a banjo played by Robbie Folks, and I'm playing fiddle,
mm-hmm.
and we're all singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a lot of music that's inspired by the music that was played at the time and the instruments that were played at the time. I also wrote a lot of lyrics. Aaron Greenwald, who commissioned the piece, invited me to mix instrumental music and music with lyrics. You know, I do both of those things. And I wrote a lot of lyrics, not only about the place. I have a song called The City of Looms, which is sort of a nickname for Kannapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a very long tune, which is in a somewhat abstract, non-direct way about race relations in the country as a marriage, a very difficult marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the songs I wrote. From the very beginning, I didn't want to write everything. I wanted it to represent more voices than my own. And I had a really great meeting with Lori Lewis and Tom Rosum, who are great folk, bluegrass, country musicians. And they suggested a number of tunes, two of which ended up in the show. One is an old mill song, which is called, it's just called The Mill, and it's, the lyric is basically about a fantasy of heaven being continued employment at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And the mill was made out of marble, the machines were made out of gold, and nobody ever grew tired, no, nobody ever grew old. And there's, you know, there's many, many verses about this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of about labor, and specifically about mills. That really resonated with that area because there's a lot of mills. Kannapolis itself was the biggest textile milling area. So I have sort of have a mixture of songs by other people, but I collected probably 3 hours of material. It ended up being a good thing that I had all this material because we just had a lot to choose from.
You actually grew up in rural California. Do you think that this gives you a deeper understanding of the rural life that was portrayed in those films?
I do. Yeah, though a lot of these, a lot of the footage is from much larger towns than I grew up in.
Mm.
You know, they're factory towns or sort of mid-sized towns.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with a lot of old music because I was not very exposed to the music of my generation for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of isolated in this homestead community in Northern California. So I got a little bit more exposure to that music than I think somebody would have growing up in Brooklyn or Berkeley or Denver or wherever, you know.
And so what do you think the mission of the film is? Like, what do you and the other creators hope that audiences will take away from the performance?
I hope that they will be moved. I hope that it's a transformative piece. That's what I go for in the music that I make. I hope people will have a bonding experience about where we are right now. I don't know if people will come away with a specific idea hammered into their head. We're gentle about the ideas in the piece. I think we want to stir up people's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a time capsule, and in that way, maybe people will feel like they're looking back on their own families. The feeling you get when you look back through photographs of your own family, and it resonates or disturbs somehow your feeling about where you are. It's a roots piece. It's a piece about our roots as Americans. And our sense of who we are is really being challenged right now. We're at a very tricky time as a country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're thinking a lot about that. And I feel like this really opens people up. There are aspects of the culture in the late 30s in this area and probably all over the country that were very affectionate, very socially minded, very open. And, you know, people walk down the street arm in arm. You see people very generous with entertaining each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see the absence of cell phones and handheld devices that sort of isolate us from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that human connection is what it really stirs up, and the importance of that and the potential for that, you know, that we have that and we want that, and that makes us feel really good.
Well, Jenny, I believe that's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for talking with me, and we'll see you soon here in Knoxville.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Violinist and composer Jenny Scheinman talking to me about Kannapolis, A Moving Portrait, a film that uses original footage taken by H. Lee Waters of Americans living in milling towns in the Piedmont region of North Carolina during the late 30s and early 40s. Jenny wrote the music for this film, which was directed and edited by Finn Taylor. Kannapolis, A Moving Portrait, will be shown as Jenny performs the music on Saturday at the Bijou Theater beginning at 12:30. Additionally, she will present a set with her fusion band, Mischief and Mayhem, on Friday from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Standard. More information about this and the Big Ears Festival can be found online at bigearsfestival.com.